Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off the first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoirestyle/livingfully. That's armoirestyle, armoirestyle/livingfully to get up to 50% off your first month and never have to worry about what to wear again. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz. And with plans starting at $69 a month, members have access to a rotating closet of 75,000 items by hundreds of top designers. Personalized closet. The styles show up to your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. We all know the feeling. You open your closet, it's full, but you have quite literally nothing to wear. Armoire will help all of us never to feel this way again. They allow you to rent high-quality designer clothes for every single occasion. Did I mention that Armoire is also women-founded and women-led? They even spotlight women-owned designers on the website. I love that I can support a business that's built by women like me. Try Armoire today. Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl wondered the same thing. She has helped now over 16,000 dogs through her foundation because she started seeing more issues with dogs' joints and odors and health than ever before, and she wanted to do something about this. She did a ton of research, and she found that the one place that we can improve dogs' health the most is their food. What she discovered is the way that so many dog foods were made were actually creating toxins in dogs' bodies that were wrecking dogs' health. And this is true even for premium brands of dog food, she found. So she decided to create something that she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs, and it's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made of over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to dogs' health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason DeBus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place him in loving homes. The food has worked so well for my dog, Doug, and he has more energy than ever, and his coat is shiny and soft. It's getting a little more gray in it, but it's definitely shinier and softer. He loves it, which makes us feel great about what we're feeding him. Go to badlandsranch.com/livingfully and order right now to get 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/livingfully. Today. Are you ready to start living your best life today? Hey y'all, I'm Mallory and welcome to the Living Fully podcast. I'm a wife, mom, and entrepreneur here to encourage you toward a life of joy and fulfillment. My heart of big dreams took me a long way from growing up on a farm in Kentucky, from Miss America and the Amazing Race, all the way to writing a best-selling book and creating 2 multi-million dollar merchandise lines. Through this crazy journey, I've had a lot of highs and some lows, but I found my true self along the way. So now my hope is to motivate you to find your own version of living fully. Here, we believe you have a choice in your legacy. So let's start living it out today. I'm Mallory, and this is the Living Fully Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Living Fully Podcast. Oh my gosh. Today, you are going to love this podcast so much, you're going to freak out. So I'm recording this intro. Jenny Allen is who my guest is today. And I'm recording this after the fact. And when I tell you that this was one of those podcasts that I felt like I actually really learned from, and it really like blessed me, and it was powerful and very impactful to me personally. And it's just like it was just like a wow podcast. So if you guys don't know who Jenny is the visionary and founder of If Gathering. She's an author. She has written several New York Times bestselling books, Find Your People, Get Out of Your Head, Made for This, Anything and Nothing to Prove. She's a speaker at national events. She is a passionate leader that her entire like mission in life is to catalyze a generation to live what they believe, which we all think, I guess, we live what we believe, whether you believe in God or whatever higher power you believe in. But the way that she is in her ministry is just very powerful, because it feels like your best friend just encouraging you and talking to you in a very real and regular but powerful way. It's so hard to describe Jenny Allen because like she just impacts me so much. So I am so excited to bring her on this podcast today and share this with you guys. She just came out with a new book, Untangle Your Emotions, Naming What You Feel and Knowing What to Do About It. It came out February 13th. And we're going to talk about that on today's podcast, but also about prayer and about parenting young children and helping deal with their emotions and so many more things. And you guys have probably seen her the past month or so. She's been on the Today Show and like every bestseller list that there is, but I'm really excited to have her right here in Nashville, Tennessee today. So without further ado, Jenny Allen. Okay, so Jenny and I have been talking about just about everything off camera already, and we'll, you know, about compounds, because you said you want to do one too.
I want to do one. It sounds like a dream. This is my dream, because me and my kids are so close, and I just want us to see each other every day. It's not enough to live in the same city. I want everybody to live in a, you know, walking distance.
Yeah, you can do it.
I know. Uh-huh. My husband and I have that dream for sure.
Yeah, you can do it. I even told Jenny, I was like, well, we have a graveyard there too. And she said, oh, I actually want that too. I was thinking about that.
Let's all be buried together. I'm all in for the whole thing. I cannot wait to read that chapter in your book.
Oh, wow. You're so sweet. Okay. I'm so excited to have you here in person.
Thank you for having
me. In Nashville. Here for one day.
Yep.
This is out. I mean, the ground is on fire under you. You're just going and going. But okay, I absolutely loved the book. Mm. And I have to tell you that, okay, so Find Your People came out the same time that my book came out. Mm. And I thought it was like the most beautiful book. I also thought it was the most beautiful cover. It looks like a Gray Malin picture, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I can remember because I would always go and see if my book was on the New York Times, and I would see Jenny's book over and over and over on the New York Times. I mean, it's like every single one of your books they do amazing things and are amazing. But I feel like this book, especially for now, is like really special. So I want to talk about this book, but you say that Untangle Your Emotions complements Get Out of Your Head, which was the book between Find Your People and Untangle Your Emotions. So I would like to hear you talk about that, like first and foremost, because, you know, Get Out of Your Head is like thoughts and negative thoughts. And I talk about that a lot because I feel like we do have power over our thoughts. And Untangle Your Emotions is getting like really deep and emotional and talking about how to
feel.
dang it.
I know.
I kind of wanted to stop at the first book.
I'm like you. Me too. Yeah. I did stop at the first book. I felt like when I wrote that book, it was complete and you have power over your thoughts, and it had a nice little bow. You know, it was like when you feel cynical, think about gratitude, right? And then I entered this season, like a lot of people, where I was numb and checked out. Mm-hmm. And I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know exactly how to fix it. Yep. And right around that time when I was recognizing something's wrong, I was invited to be a part of a little cohort of girls, a little small group of leaders. Mm-hmm. And we were going to discuss our feelings. In fact, the vision of my friend Jessica was to actually invite a wonderful counselor to lead us. Mm-hmm. So I knew, oh gosh, I'm going to have to feel some things. Mm-hmm. And it scared me. And I'll say this, it completely changed me. And things that I never thought in my lifetime would be healed. Like, I never thought I would ever quit being anxious about pressure and things like that, that all my life that's how it felt.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to kick it. Get out of your head and quitting thinking about negative thoughts wasn't kicking it. Like, it certainly changed a lot of things for me, that mentality.
Yeah.
But it stopped at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And so when I got in this group and we started sharing our guts out, and it was scary and it was vulnerable. It was, and I didn't like it at first. I remember every time they said my arms were crossed and I looked miserable the first few times.
Well, I loved that story.
Yeah.
How you were like, you know what? I'm sick of God.
Yep.
I'm sick of God. He led me all the way out into this water and into this ocean, and then he just left me here?
Yep.
Like, that's how I felt. What in the world? All this risk and all this stuff, because I love your whole story that, like, you know, you started in your living room leading these Bible studies, and it turned into this, like, global ministry. It was an accident. It was a God thing.
Yeah.
But I loved that you said that as a woman of God and as a woman that is, like, standing up here talking about how awesome God is, that you said,
I'm mad.
I'm mad at him.
Yeah, I was. I was mad. That's the right emotion.
Quite a story.
And so I share it all for those that haven't read it, and they immediately start trying to fix me, you know, which I do to people all the time because I'm a fixer instead of a fueler. And I mean, my heart just, I just withdrew. I just felt so hurt, and I felt so misunderstood because I knew the truth. I knew God. I knew God never leaves you. I knew all the facts. But it felt like that. It was just so cool because what happened in the room was our counselor said, hey, instead of saying, I think, when Jenny or any of you share what you're going through, I just want you to say, I feel. And so they began to say, I feel sad that you felt alone. I feel grateful that you haven't given up. I feel proud of you that you still love God anyway, like even though you felt that way. They just started saying all these things about what they felt instead of what they thought, and it completely changed me.
Yeah, I loved that story. And I loved like the vulnerability and the honesty, but I also loved that shift that happened in that room. And the shift that happens when you do open up and name your emotion and feel your emotion. I know this from my own story too. And I, like you, you know, I was kind of called to some larger things and some high pressure positions.
I know. I can't wait to talk about it.
So I, you know, in my life, everything was just rocking and rolling, and I was doing great. And I was running for Miss America in 2010. And I did these reality TV shows with my dad, The Amazing Race. We'd like race around the world and like do all
this. Crazy.
And it was so fun. And it was like the mountaintop. And I was in my young 20s, and it was so much pressure, Jenny, that I literally like crumbled under the weight of it. Almost lost my life to prescription pill addictions.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I got to treatment was when I realized, you know, I was 30 days into treatment and like I was sober. But then they like get out the shovel and they start to dig underneath.
Right.
And I sat in those kind of same groups that you're talking about. And when you talked about that in the book, I was having flashbacks because I was like, oh, shoot. I remember these circles.
Yeah.
And the therapist or the counselor or whatever, he's in there and he's guiding it. And it is so like everybody's holding their breath. And then there's like this breakthrough.
Yeah.
Because when you share the emotion, it's just like something lifts off of you. And
it's magic.
It's magic.
I call it that. It's not the weird kind of woo-woo magic, although on the road there it might feel that way to you. It's just, it's that good. How did that just happen? How do I not feel
it's that good.
Anxious anymore when I get to that moment? How do I feel so free? And that's the thing. It is scary. And I get it because I felt that way too.
Yeah.
But it is very worth it. And it sets something free inside of you.
It does. It sets something free. There's so many things in life that are like free magic.
Yeah.
Prayer is another thing that's like free magic. Yes. And I'm like, y'all, you're trying to like, you got your hammer and nails out, like trying to go to work all day to figure these things out. There's like free magic.
Right.
You can do some of these things way easier.
Magic. It's so good.
So, and you were talking about that. Like there were some sessions that you'd had with your therapist where you were feeling pressure and you were just like, just sharing it with one person. Even like, didn't even have to be in this group setting. You said it felt like, it just set you free.
Like, well, I remember asking him one time, I said, what is this? Like, why do I feel different? And he said, because you don't feel alone in your pain anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think I am a thinker more than I'm a feeler. Yeah. So when I understood the science that it actually is, it's not just the way that God made us. The science actually supports it, that we heal together.
Mm-hmm.
That there's when we have trauma and neuropathways break, the way they rebuild and the way they heal is to not feel alone in that pain anymore. It's why therapy actually is helpful.
Yeah.
And even better than therapy is really good friends and family that you can share with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not all of us know how to do this well.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to write this, because I thought, gosh, if I could just teach people how to do this for themselves, you know, and their relationships will go better and their parenting will go better and their marriage will go better.
It's the free magic.
Yeah.
You know, Jenny's got you free magic or like $20 magic there because you can read the book. Okay. I was supposed to start with this, but it's something that it's easy to parlay into, but we like to start like the podcast with a moment of gratitude and kind of, asking people, this question about like, who is someone in your life that's helped you live your life the most fully and why? So since the emotion shift can help the relationships, we can go into this now. So who
was I'm actually going to say, this is going to make me cry, my husband. We started off our marriage. We've been married 27 wow. years. He's going to laugh at, I don't know. I can't remember. So we get married and about 5 years, and I'm strong. Like I'm a stallion. Like I run, I jump, I climb. Like I am just like you. I know it. And so I get married and to a really strong man. Mm-hmm. And the first 5 years, I was like, are we going to make it? I mean, I really, like we were just so strong. Wow. And we even had somebody look at our personality types. You know, you take those little tests and things, and they looked at those and goes, well, you don't see that very often. Like two people, two strong visionary leaders that marry each other. And it was hard in the beginning. And I would say for a long time, I remember feeling like I just wish I could run and not feel like I'm tied and tethered, because he wasn't in that place. And he would say, and he's real open about this, that he had he struggled with insecurity.
Yeah.
And so when I would use my gifts or when I would run, he would feel like I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And he would just kind of shut it down. Mm-hmm. And I'm a pleaser enough. Like I didn't want him to be mad. So I just let him for a long time. And years later, you know, we do the work and we just understand each other so much better. Mm-hmm. And today, I mean, when you ask the question, like who helps you like run or who, what was the question exactly?
It's who's helped you live your life most fully and why?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so now it's so cool. Like now he's my biggest advocate. Like
isn't that
he's
amazing?
The one that's like, Jenny, I want you to do that. And I'll say, I don't know. It's too much. And he's like, no, you need to go.
Isn't that awesome?
You need to write that. He'll read my books. He cries when I speak. Like he's just for me. And I just thank God for the heart of our marriage because I really don't think we would get to where we are without it. But now, I mean, I don't have a better friend. I don't have a better cheerleader. Like he's it. And I know people listening, probably a lot of people listening, if they're married, might feel like that's not their marriage. And I would just say it wasn't our marriage either. Like we had to work to get there.
That is amazing. I have a similar experience with my husband. We dated for a long time and we dated when I was in active addiction. So he saw the very worst version of me. He saw me, I mean, the very worst, Jenny. I was a shell of a person.
Mm.
And then I went through this treatment program. I was there for 6 months. And we just have this amazing love story of like keeping and coming back together. But also we, like you guys, we're very similar. We actually, you know the Enneagram test?
Yeah.
So we're, who is it that, gosh, I did a podcast with Beth, is her first name. She's like this Enneagram coach.
Yeah.
And Kyle and I are the exact same Enneagram and wing. And she said, this is so rare. And we're three wing two, who is also like the achiever that wants to help. It's you and your husband. I guarantee are three wing twos.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's very rare that two of the same marry each other. And she's like, you can either be each other's best advocates or you can be each other's worst enemies.
That's
you can bring each other to the ground or you can be the power couple of power couples and like bring out the best. So I believe it.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, I say that too. To people, like, don't count yourself out of our stories because we're here in a good marriage. Because I mean, I was not.
No,
I was. We did not have a great relationship. We broke up like 4 times. It was just very up and down. And now it is the best. He is also my biggest advocate. Yeah. But you can't get there without the heart. I agree.
Yeah, such a good question.
Okay, thanks. I'm glad that I went back and asked it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to go into the book, but I first want to start with a question that I've listened to a lot of your podcasts, and I love your podcast, and I love the season that you're doing with Kate. I think it's really awesome. I also love that Kate said that she hadn't, Kate is your daughter, that she hadn't read any of your books, because Kyle also has not read my books, and so it made me feel better, and he's like, well, I lived them. And
that's
she
says.
Yeah.
Yes, all my kids say. They're like, Mom, when we read it, it's like reading about our lives that we just lived. I'm like,
pretty accurate. I was there, so anyways, I thought that was funny. Okay, so I really loved the one on prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got people that listen to this podcast that they're looking for a way to live fully. They may not be religious or Christian or have any sort of relationship with prayer or God. They may want that. In my opinion, hey, guys, prayer is free magic. Isn't that free magic? And I really, really loved that episode that you did on prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something in it. You said, does prayer not seem like so futile that, like, you know, if God's already got this all mapped out and laid out, then why are we even asking for stuff? I thought that that was really interesting because right? I was like, you know what? I never really thought about it that way. And you thought about the way that you had always prayed, and I thought of the way I'd always prayed, and it's like a list. You know, God's a judge with his arms crossed being like, okay, you know, bring, what do you want today? You know,
right.
And
yes,
we're like,
no.
Can I have this? Could you do this? Will you do this? And you talked about how now you pray like these declaratory prayers and you kind of pray gratitude and you pray over like your entire day. I love that, Jenny. I kind of pray like that, like a little loosey goosey, like all through the day. And I thank God for my kids and I put my hands on their heads and I like make the sign of the cross. And like, I'm very physical too with my prayer.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about maybe, you know, to the person that like doesn't even know where to start with prayer?
Well, what I don't like about spiritual ideas and concepts is they can feel so far away from us. They can, I feel that way. I went to seminary for crying out loud and grew up in the church. And I still sometimes will hear people talking and I'll feel like, gosh, I'm far away from that. And sometimes prayer can be that thing because we think of it as there's a certain way to do it.
Yes.
And I would just challenge anybody listening right now, like you can push pause on this and you can just say, God, this is what I'm thinking about. This is what I feel. Like I just talk to him. I just, and when I was mad, I learned to tell him I'm mad. Mm-hmm. And I can say that that's, you know, okay. Because David was a man after God's own heart. He wrote the Psalms. He was a king in Israel. And God declared him a man after his own heart. And if you read his Psalms, his prayers, basically, he's all over the place. Mm-hmm. He's telling him everything. Yeah. He's mad at him. Why are you not showing up for me? Why, you know, and you see this very intimate relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I just would say, just start talking. Like just start, even if you're not sure he's there, what a great thing to just say, hey, I don't know if you're here or not, but would you show me if you are?
Yeah.
Like just ask him, would you show me if you are? Ugh. And just start, I mean, because if God is real, then you don't want to miss that.
Yes.
And one of the greatest ways to find out is just to invite him into your life by mm-hmm. talking to him. Mm-hmm. And I know you'll feel crazy because I'll be honest, I still sometimes feel crazy. And there's times, a lot of times, because I'm ADD, that I'll be driving and I'll be like, I'm just going to talk out loud and I'll turn off my music and I'll just talk out loud. And I will feel crazy, but it looks like you're talking on your phone. Mm-hmm. And I'll just talk out loud because sometimes it helps me focus. And I just think, why not? Like,
why not?
If he's real and he's powerful and he made you and he likes you, mm-hmm. he doesn't just love you, he mm-hmm. likes you, mm-hmm. then try it, you know?
Yeah, then try it. Like, and what do you have to lose?
And if you feel like, gosh, I feel distant, I do know God, but I feel distant, that's how you feel close again, too.
Yeah. I encourage people to listen to that podcast. I'm going to link it. Because you said, God is not somebody, like, handing out money to me on the side of the road. Like, I'm his daughter. And I was like, wow. Like, to think of God as a judge with his arms crossed, like, making decisions on, here, I'm going to give you this, and I'm not going to give you this. Or thinking about him being like, here, let me throw you $10. I mean, I do believe those analogies are really powerful to me to picture.
Yeah.
And so I encourage anybody to listen to that podcast. It was just, that was really powerful. Okay. Something else that was powerful from the book. I'm going to go really rogue on this podcast and not use any of these note cards.
I love it.
I really love and appreciate you and your husband's journey with his depression.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a fixer. I guess I would say that too. I just want peace and I want everyone to be happy around me. And we've already talked about this off camera. We're going to talk about it on the podcast because I'm really worried about having like older children because I know that like my peace will leave the house.
Yeah.
So, okay. So your husband, you said, you guys, you know, you had kind of this, a little bit of a rocky road because you were headstrong when you first got married. And then you kind of start like softening. And then you guys go through this thing where he was a pastor of a church, right? Yeah. And great for the church, but it kind of conglomerates into another church or something. Mm-hmm. And he not lost his role, but like his role was different or something. And you said he went into this deep depression, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I put myself into that story, I'm going to admit I would have been like with three young children.
Yeah.
Because I have three young children. Thinking about Kyle laying in the bed being like, I'm just sad and I can't figure it out and I've got to lay here all day. I was thinking, oh my gosh, I hate to say this out loud, and I know people are going to get me for saying this on the podcast, but it's the honest truth. I would have had a really hard time with that, I think.
Yeah.
And I really thought your story was really amazing because you had a hard time with it in the beginning.
I did.
And you've learned and threw another bout with it. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. You know, depression's a spectrum. And mm-hmm. I would say his was very, that specific bout was very severe. It was so severe that my larger concern was, is he going to take his life?
Wow.
So we were in a really dark night of the soul. And when it's that bad, where you, your husband changes before your eyes, one day he's fine, and the next day he can't look you in the eye. He can't form words. Like, that's how drastic. And it happened in one day. He handed off the church.
Wow.
And then he sunk. And it was just, it was as if he was running a race and he gets to the end and he just collapses. And that's what happened. And he could not pull out. And my hope was that there were some really great men around him that had walked through it. And they said, we got him. We're going to help him find a counselor. We're going to help him figure out medicine. We're going to help him figure out what to do every day. They actually even just built a small routine that he was some days capable of doing and some days not, that he would do each day just mm-hmm. so he would move his body and, you know.
Wow.
But it was, he was that dependent on someone else. And he's so gracious to let me talk about it and write about it. In fact, he told me to. He was like, Jenny, I want you to write about it because I don't want anybody going through that to feel alone. I want them to know.
That's amazing.
And I want them to know too what I didn't know at the time, which is this won't last forever. That was his hope. He was like, am I going to be like this forever? Because it was over a year. So, you know, at some point you just start to go, I don't know that this is ever going to get better, even though I'm doing everything I can. And so it was hard for me for sure. And my kids, they were young and so they don't really remember that, but it was dark.
Yeah. And then it kind of came back again as you were writing.
Isn't that wild?
Untangle Your Emotions.
So that was, I mean, gosh, that was over 10 years ago that he walked through that. And then I had just finally like landed the title, landed the outline, was writing. And he looks at me and it was same thing. It was out of the blue. He said, Jenny,
My depression's back.
Ugh. And I was so scared because I thought, oh gosh, this was so hard last time.
Yeah.
And it was fun because, not fun, that sounds bizarre, but like.
Your very own case study for the book.
Yeah. It was meaningful
that
he was walking through this while I was writing about it because it grounded everything I was saying because I was having to, you know, we did it differently this time. I did it differently this time. I wasn't so afraid.
Yeah.
And we talked more and I felt like he wasn't so afraid.
Yeah, that's powerful. And I love it. Like when you talk about, you know, untangling your emotions and you say that that is your hope for everybody reading this book and learning to untangle their emotions is that you don't have that fear anymore.
Yeah.
Of when you have to walk through something that's hard.
Yeah.
You don't have that fear. And not simple is the wrong word, but it is so, that's such a pure thing.
Yeah.
To just not have fear. Yeah. It's not like, oh, we're going to erase all the bad stuff because we know that ain't life. But you just don't have the fear. So that was really powerful because reading too in the book about how, you know, in a new phase of life, you said your kids came home, that one story in the book where everybody came home and you'd had a really bad day and you walked into the house and you had one kid like sobbing, bawling, crying on the back porch, an emotional kid.
Yeah.
Right. And then you had one kid asking for money that I think he's...
That's such a funny story. Right. That might have been yesterday too.
Yeah, no, you said he always calls and asks for money, but she said, no, think about Jesus like that. Like every once in a while he says yes, like I do. I love when you said that. But and then you said, I pictured this story as I was reading it. And then you said, my husband was, you know, he couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
And telling that story and saying, instead of me exploding and instead of, you sat down at the table and you all started just talking. And you talked about, tell me about that.
Well, if you've been wanting to learn a new language because you're traveling abroad and you want to experience that country beyond just the touristy spots, then Rosetta Stone is for you. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on most devices like your desktop, phone, tablet, or you can really learn it anywhere. Rosetta Stone teaches you through immersion. Instead of memorizing and drilling vocabulary words, you learn by matching audio from native speakers to visuals. You read stories, you participate in dialogues, and other practical language skills to fast track your ability to communicate fluently. They offer 25 languages from Spanish to French to Italian and German to Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and even Dutch, Arabic, and Polish. Rosetta Stone has been around for 30 years because it works. As you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words too, which is really helpful. It's also an amazing value. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Living Fully listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
That's 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Visit www.rosettastone.com and use the code TODAY to redeem your 50% off. Again, use the code TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y, at rosettastone.com for 50% off. Trust me, you won't regret learning a new language. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Even though I live for the spring and the summer in the South, that means allergy season is also upon us. And I love being outside with my children as much as possible in our yard, but the allergies are definitely making it tough to enjoy every moment. Luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. This is a double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine with the best decongestant available. It relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy watery eyes, itchy nose, and throat, sinus congestion, and pressure with ease. I've been taking Claritin D this allergy season, and my allergies are so much better than they were last year. No more watery eyes or itchy throat. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? Well, it's time to get Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription for this medication. So you can go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Shout out to Crunch Labs for sponsoring this portion of the podcast. I don't know about y'all, but my kids love when things get sent to them in the mail. What is better to be sent to them than an educational, interactive subscription box? Crunch Labs is a STEM subscription where your kids get a really fun build-it-yourself toy in the mail. For the summer, Crunch Labs is hosting Camp Crunch Labs, where kids get 12 build-it-yourself toys, one shipped every week, which you know we need during the summer, plus access to exclusive Mark Rober videos and weekly challenges that are full of the juiciest engineering nuggets ever. Growing kids' brains all summer long. Camp Crunch Labs starts in June, so soon, and it will be packed with some amazing engineering nuggets for your children's brains. Plus, there are ongoing challenges that will be available as well. Their slogan is the least boring summer ever, and you will have just that with Crunch Labs. So think about this. How is this going to make your summer the best summer ever for you and your kids? Well, I know my children, and I know getting something in the mail that's going to help their brains that they get to build is going to be truly making them have the best summer ever. So go to crunchlabs.com/livingfully to sign your kids up for Camp Crunch Labs today.
It's what we've learned to do. Like, I think for so long I was afraid of emotions, yeah. Especially... Me the too. Really negative ones. I didn't want to feel them. Mm-hmm. And so when I would feel them in myself, I would stop it. I would mm-hmm. interrupt it. That's where it worked. And yeah. and then my kids would feel sad and angry yeah. and hurting. And I would try to stop it for them. And I think that's one of my regrets. And I'm not a person that has a lot of regrets, not because I haven't made mistakes, just because I look forward, not backwards usually. Yeah. But as I wrote this, I mean, I really had to go to my kids and just say, I'm just sorry I wasn't better at this. Mm. And they were so gracious, but they noticed it. They were like, yeah. Mom, it didn't feel good. And yeah. it didn't feel good when we would come home sad and you would try to just tell us not to be sad.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Okay. This is where I'm going to have, this is where I need like some Jenny wisdom here. Okay. So my kids are 5, 4, and 1. And when I read your book and listen to your podcast and listen to your podcast that you do with your daughter, you have a richness about your relationship with your children.
Yeah.
That is very inspiring. And I am going to be honest that I'm nervous about the next phase of life a little bit of like having children who, you know, preteen and teenage and, you know, that age yeah. children, you know, a 5-year-old is a 5-year-old, but like, 10 is not that far away.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes it's why I want to stay in the little kid phase. It's why I want to keep having kids.
We all fear it. Yeah.
This is like the phase that this it's is. Sweet. Yeah, it's physically
they're
sweet. Hard.
You're in control. They're,
but I'm in control.
You're the boss. Yeah.
So great. I sometimes feel like, I just got yeah. all my stuff figured out yeah. and everything's smooth sailing and we have a lot of peace. And they're about to wreck my ship
yeah.
with all these emotions. And I, you know, yeah. like I said, I've been through so much with recovery and I have been through so much in my life that I know in my brain that I know how to deal with emotion, but it was like so much work. Right. And like, and I just, here's my question to you today is how do you foster that relationship with kids? Because I know it has to do with emotion and being connected and not wanting to fix things. I really want to fix things.
Me too. Yeah.
I think I'm a helicopter mom, maybe a little bit.
No, I bet you're
not. I might be.
I bet, well, some of the things I say, I'm like, 1 to 5 year olds. You have no option at this point.
Yeah, I got to be a helicopter right now. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I know a lot of people listening to this podcast also have young children.
Yeah.
And we all want for this. We all want for a close relationship with our kids. But we just, there's so much information out there that I get confused.
Oh, I get that. I quit reading parenting books about year one of my son.
Okay, maybe
and to give y'all perspective, in case you don't know, my kids are everywhere from 15 to 24. So I've got four in that range. And they are just lights out strong personalities, every single one of them. I was waiting for a melancholy one. There's not one in the whole mix. So we had a lot of emotion. My boys have emotion. My boys have a lot of words, both of them. My girls have a lot of emotion, and I would say all but one have a lot of words. And so we have a really vivacious, nearly Italian seeming family. And so we are, there's a lot of big everything. But what I would say about it is I think, and I told you this off air, I think it gets better and better. And I'll tell you my philosophy in parenting. And we started with the end in mind. Somebody told us to do that. And so when your kids are young, you decide, like, what's our end goal? What are we building here?
Oh, what great advice.
And so when your kid launches for college, but I'll say even more like 21 when they launch from college, because that really is, I feel like they're adulthood. Pretty needy and back and forth and until after college. And then still, right? I mean, we still got a little bit of that. But I would say, what are you launching at 21 into the world? And I wanted a close family. I wanted us to like each other. And I wanted us to have relationships that were real and not pretend.
Yeah.
And so the goals we set were that they would not be our whole life. So somebody told us, if you, you can do two things when you have kids. You can build a circle and put your kids in the middle, you and your husband. Or you can put the world in the middle and you can add to the circle and all of you serve the world. Well, that was our mentality from the time they were young. And so when one of them had a football game, when one of them had a track meet, they were serving their world. And so we were cheering them on. And when they would go, we were their biggest fans and we would pray and we would support them and we were all in. And when I would go to speak or to write or whatever I was doing, they would pray. They would send me. They would know what I was doing. They were all in it because they prayed for it and they cared about it. And so we were like ascending family and we all had our things that we went and did. And then we came back together and I didn't have a lot of rules and I didn't have a lot of structure. And I know that's not the best, but.
Well, I think I'm that way too.
But I will say what we were great at was I had the rule of we've got each other's backs no matter what. So you will not talk to each other that way.
Yeah.
You will not talk about each other behind each other's backs. You will honor each other. And that was my biggest rule. And I mean, they would say if we ever got caught bad mouthing a sibling in public or anything, I was the grab your ear mom. Like I was like, you will. In fact, I remember one time in front of his friends saying, Connor Allen, you will never talk about your sister that way. Like I was right. I didn't even care.
That is awesome.
But that was my thing is we've got each other. We are a team and we're going to take care of each other. And it's so cool because they rose to that. That was a vision for them.
Yeah.
And they rose to it.
Yeah.
And today that's still really true. They've got each other. And it's not perfect by any means. My gosh. I'll say this. The only thing that was really hard for me as a parent, and it was true for all four, so I think it might be true in the whole world. Because it was true for me too, is middle school. That is just a unique,
it's just hard.
Those years, you just got to go, you know, a lot of grace.
Yeah.
And you're an idiot, but they're going to come back. They're going to come back. But yeah, our eighth grade selves are not, none of our best selves.
Yeah. I think that you say somewhere in the book, like, you know, the best thing that you can do for your kids is to figure out your own story.
For sure.
Is that what
And that's the other thing I would say, Mallory, is you've healed. Like, you don't underestimate that. And if anybody listening is like, I don't know that I've ever healed. I don't know that I've healed from my parents and what they've done. I would just say that's the best parenting you can do. Because if you're healthy and you understand yourself and you're not passing on your baggage to your kids, that is everything.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? People that have healed a little bit, and I'm not talking about perfect because we'll never get there. But you're able to feel your emotions. You're able to say, you know what? This really hurt me. You're able to apologize.
Yeah.
There's just you've got skills and tools that you can be in a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say that's got to be your priority. If you feel like, gosh, I'm not healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm not emotionally healthy. That's the greatest thing you can do for your kids.
That is amazing advice. And I will remember that. And the siblings thing, I can't believe you just said that, because I just did a podcast with my dad. We lost my grandpa, who lived in the center of our property and was like our everything, who was the patriarch of our family. I asked my dad on the podcast that we just recorded a couple of days ago, I said, did you ever see him get mad? And he said, when we would go against each other, the siblings would go against each other.
You protect that.
That's the only time.
It's true.
And I've never heard anybody else say that, that like that was the thing that like that made them.
Well, and look at how close y'all were.
And we're so close.
And I really do think.
That's amazing
advice.
As parents,
sometimes we don't know what's normal and what do we, you know, oh, they're just fighting. That's normal. Well, guys, it doesn't have to be. Yeah. That's your home. You're the boss. And you get to say, not here. And the reason, right? I always said the reason why is because you're going to walk out that door. This makes me cry. And you're going to get beat up. Mm-hmm. And people are not going to be nice to you. And people are not going to think about you. Mm-hmm. But in here, we care about you. And none of us are going to make someone feel beat up on or like they don't belong here. You belong here. You may never belong out there, but you're always going to belong here.
That is amazing.
And you give them a vision. And they want that. When they hear it, they're like, I want that. I don't want people to be mean to me here. You know, they get it. Ugh. And sometimes you got to train them. Like one thing I did was, of course they still fought,
so
y'all.
Good.
I mean,
that's
let me be
so
real.
Good.
Of course they still fought. But I would, this is what I did. I know some of y'all have heard other people do this. I hadn't. I just thought it made sense. I just put my two that were fighting in a room and locked the door and said, you can come out when I hear you laughing.
Oh my.
And they'd sometimes be in there for 2 hours, but every single time they would eventually laugh.
Oh,
they would eventually start playing and get over it and have
that
fun.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
What great advice. What beautiful advice. Like you're going to get beat up when you walk out this door. So like here where you belong. Like that's something I bet I'm going to think about like every single morning from now on. Like that's such a gift to me that you just said that today. Thank you for saying that. I'm glad that question led to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to emotions, since you're making me emotional talking about this. Yeah. Okay, so you write in the book, like, you know, how many times do we say, like, don't let your emotions get the best of you? And, you know, how people always think of emotions as kind of this bad thing that we have to kind of stamp out or just get a hold, put the reins back on them, you know, especially if you're a man, because you can't, you definitely can't be having them. And you talk about, through this entire book, y'all, emotions are a good thing. Emotions are our connectors to each other and to God. And it's the richness of life. Yeah. So like you teach us how we don't have to be fearful of those emotions because here's how you can handle them.
Right.
And so I thought that it was really awesome that you went into the things that we do to numb out emotions when you're in the get a hold of these things mode.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, of course I numbed. I mean, I ended up in a treatment center. I was really numbing.
Yeah.
But you talk about things that you talk about, you say, what are the things that you are putting before God? You kind of talked about numbing agents in a different way.
Yeah.
And you talked about that in a podcast too. And I think that it's that actually was like a breakthrough for me.
Yeah.
Cause I was thinking, well, I was like, I don't love anything more than God. I mean, I really love God, you know, but then I was like, okay, at night, am I shopping on my phone instead of
shopping,
praying?
Right. That's one. Yep.
And you said you gave up shopping a little bit.
I know.
And
I
you gave up alcohol too.
Yeah,
not in the same way that kind of I did, but not that you were like forced to, but you said you were kind of putting it, like you were numbing things out.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I don't think people think of it like that.
Yeah.
Think of numbing agents like
so,
that.
So first of all, I mean, you got to understand the way we're built by God is sometimes numbing is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of the seasons of your life where you literally cannot handle what's going on around you. When my husband was in the first depression and I had young kids, we had just adopted our youngest son. He was throwing things. He could barely speak English. Like it was a crazy time.
Wow.
And everything in our world was undone. And it wasn't just my husband's depression. That would have been a lot. But it felt like every category of our lives. And at that moment, the best I could do was get up and do my job every day, which was to take care of the kids and take care of him and take care of my work. And that was all I could do. So numbing isn't, I don't want to make it overly evil because it's not evil. It can be a gift for certain seasons. Where we get in trouble is when we numb indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
When we go, you know, I now am drinking every night.
Yeah.
I now, and I need it, and I'm thinking, and I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I now am binge watching every weekend and never getting out of my robe, you know? And,
yeah.
And that's where you just go, okay, is this the best thing for me? I think about a reel that I saw, you've probably seen a lot of people kind of, or TikTok, a lot of people copied it, but it was basically, have you, you know, I'm sad, I don't know why. And then it's like, have you drank water today? Yes. Have you gone outside today? Have yeah. you, you know, all these things.
Have you slept?
Have you slept? Have you yeah. talked to anyone? You know, uh-huh. and it's like, no, uh-huh. you know. And I think we can get that way. And I think we've got to just watch that. And so what you don't want is just to cope with your emotions. So the three things we typically do is cope, conceal, and control mm-hmm. our emotions. And I think all of us do all three, but typically one like jumps forward. And it, we live in a world of coping. Coping can happen yeah. when we pull out our phone from our pocket and look down. We can immediately get a hit from something yeah. on that phone. So it's easier to cope. That's a real, you know, common one for everybody. But where, you know, what we're missing in that, if the ultimate goal of our emotions and to feel them is connection with mm-hmm. ourselves and with the Lord and with each other, well, that's the thing that heals us. That's the yeah. thing that actually you want. You actually are looking at your phone. You're watching Friends over and over again. You're watching whatever show you're watching because it usually the great shows have connected people mm-hmm. on them. You're watching that.
Oh, good point.
You're numbing out because you are craving something, and what you're craving is a connection with God and a connection with people. So you're in coping. You're mm-hmm. missing the thing you need. Mm-hmm. In staying in your robe, which we all joke about, and never getting with your people, and then eventually feeling distant from them because that's what happens.
Yeah.
Now you've traded your friends for Netflix. And I know that sounds harsh.
Wow. Yeah.
But we are acting like friendship is just about happy hour when it's really, we're all at war in our own little ways.
Yeah.
And we really need each other. And if you could just go, you know what? I need to not be alone tonight because I've been a little sad and I'm going to get dressed. And no, that's not easy. It mm-hmm. is not easy. Y'all, COVID taught us how absolutely long we can possibly mm-hmm. stay in a robe in our beds. It's really a long yeah, time. It's a long we can do time. It. So to get up and to get dressed and to go out like that, that's a thing. But we need and add to it, have a real conversation yeah. about what's going on.
Yeah.
But it changes yes. us. Nothing else changes mm-hmm. us like that.
I love it how you just said it with the coping, that like it's the thing that you're seeking, the thing that you're seeking in all of these things, you're actually like putting a big old rug over. Like
that's right. Still there.
Yeah.
Not going anywhere.
It's still there.
And it's going to come out funny ways.
It's going to, oh my gosh.
It's going to come out
it's
funny
come
ways.
It's going to come out funny ways. Yeah.
So you may be like, I'm not an angry person. Well, I'll say this. If you would say you're not an angry person, would you say you're an irritable person? Mm-hmm. And I bet you everyone's like, okay, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come out. It's not going to, maybe it doesn't come out as yelling at your kids.
Yeah.
But maybe it does. I've been there. Mm-hmm. But it comes out where all of a sudden you're snapping at something, even somebody not in your family, and you're going, yeah, why did I just let this mm-hmm. person have it?
Yeah.
It wasn't worthy yes. of that. But I yes. literally just bit that person's head off.
I mean,
I watched a guy on the plane this morning. He kept biting everybody. He bit my head off because I needed to get into the window seat. He sat on the aisle. And I'm like, now listen. I mean, I about had a lecture with him. I'm like, buddy, you got some unsuppressed emotions here, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And he was mad at everybody. And I thought that's eventually what happens yeah. is when we don't yeah. deal with it, we become these people that we don't want to become. Yeah. And it's not, you know, I should have done some counseling with him, but somebody sat between
you
us.
You could have just handed him your book.
I could have.
He
would have
gotten real
yes,
mad about that, though. Yes. That you saw his, you know,
like,
issues.
Buddy, yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome and very true. And I also like, you know, that section of the book, it actually parallels a lot in my book because I talk a lot about like the people that are fine. And I wrote a whole right. chapter about that. And I almost called it like what's under the rug. And you had, there was just so many things that you said. There were so many things that I said because I'm like, y'all fine people, you got it the worst because like yeah. you actually think everything's okay. So you're probably not going to fix right. it. And I love that part of the book too. I'll just, you know, people need to read that part of the book, but yeah. you know, there, I like at the end of the book, you go into specific emotions because I think that we all are different and we all have like our own yeah. emotions that we struggle with. And the one that I really resonated with, and I know my community does, it was fear and yeah. What you wrote about fear. I was actually really surprised at this, but I had written all the chapters of my book and I had one more chapter left. And I said, what do you think stands in your way of living fully the most, you know, as an Instagram poll? And one in every three answers of like 7,000 responses was fear. Fear of something. I'm afraid of this. I'm fearful of this. Like, I'm scared what my friends will think if I do this. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's fear. And so I really loved in Untangling Your Emotions what you go into about fear. So I'd love it if you could share that, because you go into specific emotions and kind of the steps that you can take. But what about fear?
Well, let's start with what we think about fear, which is, you know, there's a big part of us that judges everything we feel. Mm-hmm. And so what I want to be careful of, and what I hope everybody walks away from this podcast with and from the book with, is great compassion. That you have compassion for yourself and you'd have compassion for other people. Because the reality is there is a lot to be afraid of.
Yeah.
It's real. Some of it's pretend, but it came from somewhere.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I read in the Bible that, you know, do not fear was like one of the most common phrases in the Bible. And so it's a command, you know, from God, like, don't fear. So it just made me feel extra hard on myself. Like every time I felt it. Well, when I went and looked at all those places where it says, do not fear, it was something scary was already happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like I would when my kids and I have to go into the closet for a tornado, right? And in Dallas, that happens somewhat. Mm-hmm. Often. And so we'll be in the closet and I'm telling them, like, don't be afraid. Like, we're going to be okay.
But there's a tornado.
There's a tornado.
Yeah.
But I got you. Like, and I mean, no, maybe, but I'm comforting them. We're singing. I'm not mad at them that they're afraid. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's what I started reading. I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't a command where he's angry if we're afraid. He's actually like, I got you, kid.
Yeah.
I love you. I got you. I see you. And so I think there's a, that right away, just not to be so hard on yourself when you feel afraid. Just go, what is it? Where's it coming from? Why do I feel this way? Because a lot of times what we think we're afraid of is not actually what we're afraid of. So the best example of this is how I opened the book, where my daughter kept saying she was going to move, you know?
Yes.
And they just got married.
I love that story.
And they just got married. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to just die. Like, they're going to, and I knew I had to play it cool, but in my heart, I thought, I've got to, I don't know why I'm reacting this way, but my heart, it would start racing. My palms would start sweating. I would want to cry. Mm-hmm. And I would sit there and smile because I knew I needed to be, I didn't want to be controlling.
And you're a mother-in-law too.
Right. I've got a son-in-law. Really, I really didn't want to be a crazy mother-in-law. So I'm just sitting there like, fun. And then I would literally go home and cry so hard. I was like, what is wrong with me? I am a psycho. Of course they might move. Like, they're married. They have their own family. They're going to make their own decisions. And so I really had to work through, what am I so afraid of? And anyone, myself included, normally would say, you're afraid of your kids moving away. I'm like, yeah. But am I? Like, is that the thing? And it was, it really went back to, my husband had almost died a year and a half before. Mm-hmm. And when I looked back and I felt like, I'm going to lose everybody. There was a fear of abandonment. There was a fear that, wow, this is all going to fall apart and I'm going to lose. She's going to move and my other kids are going to move and Zach might die and it's just going to be me. And I wasn't consciously thinking that. But I think it's just important that we notice, like, where is this really coming from?
Yeah.
Because when you can name what it actually is, when I named, I'm afraid everyone's going to leave me. When I could name that, then I could go, you know what? I'd still have God. I'd still have my best friends. They're stuck with me forever. We see each other all the time. I still have work I love and a team I love. Like, I'd be okay. Once I knew what I was actually really afraid of, I could process it and be okay. But we're afraid of it. And we judge it, so we don't feel it, so we don't share it, so we don't analyze it. And then we never get free from it.
Yeah. So it's notice it, name it, say the steps that you say in the book.
Notice your feeling.
Notice your feeling.
Name it.
Name it.
Specifically, as specific as you can. Feel it, which I know that sounds funny, but we got to do that. We've got to actually not be afraid to just feel it. And I'm not talking about for the next year. I'm just saying in the moment, like when you feel worried, be like, I'm having a hard time breathing. I'm anxious. What am I anxious about? Process it. And then you share it. And sometimes that's when you figure out why you're feeling what you're feeling. And then you decide what you're going to do about it. And when you choose. So notice, name, feel, share, and choose.
Notice, name, feel, share, and choose. Because you do have a choice.
We do. And if I will not say that feeling emotions for a year and a half of anger, sadness, fear, for a year and a half. That's a stronghold. Like, I'm not, yeah, I'm not advocating that you feel it and stay stuck there. Mm-hmm. I'm actually saying we can heal.
Yeah.
But the way to heal is through it. Not around it, not over mm-hmm. it, not under the rug. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 'Cause that sounds like it would be easier, but it's actually a lot harder.
It is. It's messier. It, yeah.
Oh, gosh. I could ask you 7,000 more things, but I'm going to ask you one more thing before we talk about Gather 25, because I'm very, very, very curious about Gather 25 and you and your Achiever self, this thing that you're going to do. But I want to ask you one more thing, because I think it's really powerful, and I think it's a good call to action.
Yeah.
And there was a podcast that I was listening to of yours where you were talking about, like, take a friend to coffee, you know, doing the small things. And you were talking about, you were on a stage, I think, where you were delivering this message, right?
Yeah.
Like, you were talking about, you're like,
casseroles?
I'm feeding into this problem because yeah. I've got books and I got this ministry and, like, I'm on the stage.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to say, oh, I'm going to be, you know, whatever it is good that you want to do in the world. I want to do ministry, or I want to, you know, help people live fully or whatever. But we all think, okay, well, let's get an Instagram account and let's write some books and get a podcast, and, like, how everybody's trying to play it big.
Yeah, that's good.
But you said, you were like,
play it small.
Y'all, I wouldn't be up here if, what was her name? Hadn't asked you to coffee in college?
Oh, Michelle Bose.
Michelle. If Michelle hadn't asked you to coffee and you hadn't envied the way that she read her Bible and she made you chocolate chip cookies on that floor.
That's right.
And you said she is the reason that y'all are all here.
That's right.
And you said that you're fearful of this generation because everybody wants to play it big. And we forget about this aspect of, I took it as, like, service. Yeah. Of serving other people. And I, Jenny, thought that was so amazing, because you know what I've been thinking lately with running, we've got so many different businesses going on. I think of, how can I reach the most people with the smallest amount of, not effort, but, like, sure, this, you know, I can reach more people on a podcast, yeah, or books than I can be in the one-on-one person with all these people that ask me for help with these
good
things.
That's honest.
And
I love it.
That was a real call, and it's to true action.
It's true. And you know what? We're both, and people listening, a lot of people that probably follow you are leaders and,
yeah,
influencers and good at helping people. And thinking big isn't all wrong. Where we go wrong is when we think we can play it big and not have the small.
Yeah.
We've got to have the depth. You've got to have the people in real life that, yeah, know you, that could care less about all of it. And you need to have the people in your living room that need to grow and that need, yes, to understand, you know, maybe it's faith for you or maybe it's work. Like, you've got to be investing in the next generation because somebody invested in you to get here.
Amen.
And so we've got to be looking behind us and going, okay, who do we need to love and who do we need to know?
That is so true.
Maddie Pruitt, I don't know if you know her.
Yes.
But she, mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't,
she,
know her, well, personally, but I know
was,
who she is.
Yeah, so she was on The Bachelor, yes, and just fell into my life. She walked into my living room with a group of girls. I didn't know who she was. Not that I've never watched The Bachelor, but I didn't see her season, and so I didn't even know. But she had made it really far and had a huge, yeah, following. And so she's in my living room because I'm doing the small, because I had these young girls over. Yep. And I'm telling you what, that girl is reaching the big. Like, she is speaking. She loves God. She is, her faith is, you know, dynamic. And so many young people are following her. And she's, I love her. I love her. I'm, mm-hmm, so proud of her.
Yeah.
Well, God has a funny way of doing, you know, an exchange. Because I just wanted to have some girls over in my living room. Like, but I didn't know that several of them had, like, millions of followers. Mm-hmm. So you just do what you're supposed to do. Like, yeah, stick to your lane. And in loving in the small, I'm helping her love a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so it's not that big is wrong or small is wrong or big is right or small is right. It's that it's all needed. And, mm-hmm, we need both in our lives. I mean, if your life is all small, then you're probably going, okay, well, what else is there? Like, mm-hmm, there's a yearning in you to be, yeah, a part of something. And I would say, join a church. Like, that can be the big stuff. Like, that mm-hmm can be the big stuff. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we get so stuck in our little home or life that we forget there's a whole world out there. And so, again, there's no pressure. It's, yeah, not pressure.
Yeah.
It actually just helps the small make more sense.
Yes.
When you get older women in your life. That's why I love church so much, even if you're not a believer, I'm like, go join a church, because you'll get a type of community that's really hard to find in the world any other way. Because you, and I say, serve in the nursery, like go sign up. And if you have babies, don't, don't let us change your baby's diapers. Okay. Not you, but serve somewhere, because what's going to happen is some woman in her 60s is going to be sitting beside you. And all of a sudden you're going to be crying about something with your husband or something with your kids or something in singleness. And all of a sudden she's gonna be like, listen, I was there.
Yeah.
I know what that's like. We all need the small and we all need the big, and it's okay. We need perspective, so we know what else is out there, so we don't die in our robe. And we need and we need the small, because we got to be grounded and we got to have our people.
Oh, such a good reminder, because I always think, I'm serving people with the big, because that is my intention. Yes. Like, that's what,
and that's awesome. And you need to do that. And everybody out here thanks you. Yes.
Yeah, you're so sweet. But really? And that is so powerful. And like, I grew up with all the people around me were so busy, and they served people in small ways. My grandpa did it in small ways all the time, always served people. And I think it's such a self-focused generation. You know, we're literally looking at ourselves on the camera, on our phone. Yeah, I do it every single day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot imagine, like, how can this get any more self-focused? But it's like, gosh, what about the other people and like serving others? And that was a reminder to me. And I always think I am serving others really well. But I think just having the small with the big, that was really amazing.
So just remember too, you need it.
Yeah. And yes.
Because y'all sweet things probably email Mallory and send her messages and thank her. But there's nothing like somebody looking you in the eyes and saying, thank you. Like, that changed my life.
Oh, it's,
There's nothing better. Like, and so you need, we need real life. We need life on life, because it heals something in us too.
Yes. Women will come up to me at the zoo or at the trampoline place. And I'm like, you don't know how much this means to me. And they always say, sorry, I'm sorry to come up to you. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
No.
It's why I do what I do. It's why we deal with the stressors of like customer service issues.
Agree.
With a sweatshirt, because somebody's sweatshirt came in wrong. It's just like, it's just that saying your book changed my life. Like, oh my gosh, we do need it. It's just, that's amazing. Okay. Last thing. Okay. If you want to know how to untangle your dang emotions, I tell you how you can do it is you can get this book.
Yeah.
For real. And I know that like we're talking about like, books with authors on these, but this was really a book that I read cover to cover and I really, really loved Jenny. So I really think that it's amazing. Also coming from like a strong achiever type woman, that probably could have just powered through without having to deal.
Right.
But like you did for all of us. So thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gather 25, this is the last thing. I want to talk about this because I really love how you're showing up on social media and you're like, you guys, I had this vision and it's too big. It's too much. And like, you're taking everybody along for the ride, not being like, oh, let me promote this thing and get you all in.
Right.
But you're like, okay,
help.
And like, when you have these nervous breakdowns about how you're going to have a literal global prayer, like,
it's
every continent,
live from every continent.
It's quite the logistical operation.
March 1st, 2025, we are trying to gather the entire global church, all 2.5 billion people that say they love Jesus, together across every denomination, across every culture, across every age, every type of church and person that says they love Jesus, or maybe they just kind of check that box when they are voting, whatever it is for you. We're inviting you to come and to gather, because we can. I mean, for the first time in history, we can. And so we're going to go live and tell the stories of what God's doing on each continent around the world. And everybody would say, this is impossible. Like, how are you going to do it? And I would say, I feel that way some days, but but I feel like we were supposed to do it. And we're doing it with the help of so many organizations. And so we're not alone. It'll be really fun to see if it's possible to do this. But my hope is just, I think we need encouragement. I think people need hope. Mm-hmm. I think people need to remember that our lives actually matter, that we're not just bopping along and it goes to black, like there's a purpose and a plan. And so my hope is that for 24 hours, we would realize it's the big, right? It's the wow.
That's this the big.
God is big, and the world is big, and people are people in every different country on every continent. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to make it to our Antarctica too, and live stream from there. So, people are people are people, and we all need God, and we all need each other. Mm-hmm. And we all need hope and we all need encouragement. And so my hope is, yeah, it's something that every person would want to be a part of and from your place. You don't have to go. You don't have to travel. You don't have to buy tickets. It's totally free. You How can amazing. Just plug in.
Wow. I mean, nothing, because nothing like this has ever even been attempted, I don't think.
It's never been attempted. And the only reason it's even possible is because of artificial intelligence mm-hmm. that can translate live from every language to hundreds mm-hmm. of languages. So
God knows when he's going to give right. you the right vision.
Right, right. Because right? I didn't even know the technology, when it would be ready or anything like that. I didn't even know what I was saying when I said I think the entire church should gather. But the people that know things are like, this literally is the perfect timing. So gosh, it's beautiful.
Okay. This is actually the last question for you. Okay. If you were on an elevator with someone that like said, I don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
And you had to do an elevator pitch.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Well, the first thing I'd say is, what do you think God thinks of you? Mm. And so many people would answer, I think he's disappointed in me. And I would say, I think he loves you, and I think he likes you, and I think he wants a relationship with you. And I know that because of the Bible. And I believe that we are, even those of us that would say, you know what, I am a Christian or I know Jesus, we feel like God's disappointed in us and we're not doing enough and we don't measure up, and he's an angry dad or judge, and he's just, his arms are crossed and he's mad. And I would just say, his arms are wide open and he likes you. He made you. You're his kid and he wants a relationship with you. And so that's what I would say, is there's a God who made you and loves you and likes you and is inviting you into a relationship.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, all the details, you know, the way that's possible is because of the blood of Jesus. He sent his son because he wanted us back. He sent his son to come get us. And so Jesus was the sacrifice for our sin. And so it had to be paid for. We don't want a God that's not just, because then, you know, everything goes. And it's how, think of all the people that have hurt you. Think of all the murderers and child abusers and all the crap out there. Like, we want a God who's just.
Yeah.
So he had to send Jesus. And that is the greatest gift. And that's why we get to be close to him.
Wow.
And we don't have to be ashamed.
Well, that was a great elevator pitch. Oh, man, I expected a good one from you, I will say, but that was, wow. Okay, this was an amazing podcast. It's an amazing book. You are an otherworldly kind of woman that has been given such a special gift, and I'm really glad that he called you to something bigger out of your living room, because it really impacted me today.
Well, I feel that way about you, and I'm really grateful for everything you're doing.
Well, thanks.
So keep going, girl.
Thanks,
I got
Jenny.
You. When your kids are teenagers and being jerks, you call me.
I'll call you. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you're going to hit up a couple of our friends after this.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. And we're going to link everything Jenny Allen in the show notes. But where do people find you? Mainly on Instagram? Like, what are your social media?
Yeah, Instagram's a great place. It's just at Jenny Allen, JENNIE. ALLEN, and my website's the same thing. You can find me there.
Awesome. A lot of stuff going on, the books and Gathered 25. And my sister-in-law, who works for me, was like, well, I'm doing a Bible study right now. It's like, you're just everywhere. We'll link everything Jenny Allen below. And thank you so much for coming on, Jenny.
Loved it.
And thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Living Fully podcast. This was an incredible episode today, and I really hope that it's blessed you like it blessed me. So tune in next week for more. Hey friend, if you're loving the show, I'd love to hear from you. Head to your podcast app, scroll down to where it says ratings and reviews, and share your thoughts well with a rating and review. Your words might be just what the next person needs to tune in and start living fully today.